Welcome to Catalyst at Home. We're so honored you decided to join us today for the third installment of our Won't You Be My Neighbor series. You know, if you have missed the first two messages of this series, I would encourage you to go back and view those either on the podcast or you can go to the website under messages and find those resources there as well. It's because Jeremy really laid a framework for Won't You Be My Neighbor kind of in the four neighborhoods that we live. And here we are in the third series of this message series, and we just want to kind of continue to build upon the momentum that we laid. And today, I'm going to be talking about the heart of hospitality. In fact, that's what I have actually entitled the message today as we unpack Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41. So before we do, I want to pray. Father, I thank you for just the opportunity today to just bring your word, Father, to God, our community. Father, we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would meet us here. Jesus, would you take this word and divide it 1,000 different ways that it would meet each of us right where we're at. Father, we thank you that your word is living and active and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so we invite that into our lives. Father, would you bring us closer to being more like you, Father, closer to your heart through today's message, and use us as catalysts, God, in our communities for your kingdom to come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to jump into Luke chapter 10, 38 through 41. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, it's going to be on the screen. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So today we're going to unpack three attributes that I think have to be present in order to really offer a biblical hospitality to the neighbors around us in the four neighborhoods that Jeremy really unpacked in the first and second messages, which is really starts with our home. It's our workplace. It's our community. It's where we go to the grocery store. It's where we run our errands. It's in our kind of our geographical neighborhoods, as well as our church community. And this message today, as we really all of us are challenged to kind of take that next step in hospitality, where we become just a taste, right? A taste of heaven and what Jesus is really like, which leads us to our first point today, which is a willingness to invite. You know, the heart of hospitality really starts with a willingness to really open your life and to open your home. And in verse 38, we see that Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him and his disciples. You know, this Greek word for hospitality actually means to love a stranger or to be generous and courteous to guests. And so we see here that Martha gets a lot of flack sometimes, often, especially if you've heard this story before, from kind of being that task-driven, non-people person. But the reality here is that without Martha opening her home, being willing to do the work, right? And it takes work sometimes to be hospitable. Without her doing that, there would have never been the time to connect with Jesus like Mary really models. And we're going to unpack that a little bit further. But we see here that oftentimes we can see the comparison, right, of these two individuals, these two sisters who have very different approaches and very different personalities. You know, author Robert Mahalan from Spiritual Formation book, he's an author, and he actually says it like this. He warns that we should be self-aware enough to realize that we all have a natural propensity towards vilifying personalities and dispositions that are different from our own. And today, especially in this first point, I really want to unpack how both of these women have taught us something about hospitality and the way that they interact with Jesus. You know, the first is that Martha exhibits a willingness to invite and open, right? She opens her homes to Jesus, and she's heard of Jesus, but now she's got the disciples too, and she likely didn't know all of them. And she's opening her home. She's doing the work. She's getting ready for them to come into her house and enjoy a meal and a conversation together. She's using that gift of hospitality and that gift of service to serve. You know, there's such a practical piece to this. But then we see Mary, on the other hand, and she's teaching us, hey, let's not get too caught up in all the details and overdoing it, right? Because in otherwise, we'll miss the point. We'll miss the main guest of honor, which is why we even exercise the gift of hospitality in the first place. And so we see from both of these women that it is so important. Yeah, we've got to open our home. We have to be willing to do the work, but we also have to be, we can't get too caught up and too distracted in all the stuff and all the tasks that have to be done that we miss the whole point, which is to connect relationally one to another, even if everything is not as you wanted it to be. You know, I remember when Jeremy and I first, we were probably about 2 years into marriage, and we were graduating from kind of our graduate school furniture that were, you know, was kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. And we had saved for a dining room table. And as you know, probably if you are living in urban areas, especially kind of even in the DC area and some of the city limits, they're in small apartments. And so that's where we were at. And so I had my heart set, though, on this big farm table that had huge extensions, because in my mind, I was like, I want to exercise the gift of hospitality. I want to open my home so that we can have conversations. I want my dinner table full. I want people having life-changing, transforming conversations, like, what has God put in your heart? And just those kind of conversations around a nice meal. And I remember Jeremy thinking, like, hey, Christina, you do realize, like, this table's going to take up, like, half the room or even more. And I'm like, I know, but I don't care. I just have my heart set on this table, which we still have today. And then, of course, children come along, and I realize, man, my heart, I had the heart and the posture to open my home, but I lacked the vulnerability to actually allow people into the real life, right? And so anyone that has a toddler, who has babysat a toddler, who's an aunt and uncle to a toddler, has ever even seen a toddler, knows that for, you know, you can clean up a room, and then in 2 seconds later, it's actually a mess again, right? It can be incredibly frustrating, and all the mamas I know are saying amen and shaking your head right there in your living room, because you know what I'm talking about. And I remember thinking, like, I had this tug of war in my heart. On one hand, I wanted to open my home, have conversations, have my house full of people. And on the other hand, I was torn, right? Because they're going to walk into a mess that I literally clean up every moment of every day. And you know what? And I'm sad to say that, unfortunately, I did miss a lot of opportunity to open my heart and my life to others, to be hospitable. I've grown since then, but there's such a, we can often put these barriers and these blockades, thinking that hospitality has to be perfect. It has to look like the Pinterest, or, you know, it has to look like your Instagram feed of, you know, a staged set, and we're comparing ourselves. And the reality is, we're missing the point, right? The point is opening. You don't have to have a perfectly laid room or meal, or quality of a meal doesn't have to be a 5-star for you to share in biblical hospitality. You know, I can remember preparing for my daughter's third birthday, and I was in my third trimester. It was still kind of hot, and we were having a home birthday party, and I had worked all week long, and I was exhausted. And this party's happening on a Saturday, and there's a lot of preparation to do, and I was running around ragged, like, just going over the top, right? Just doing too much. And I remember, you know, by the time everyone got there, I was so tired, I didn't even, like, enjoy the connections, because I had just worn myself out preparing, right, for this birthday party. Thank God, since then, I've actually made some significant changes, and I've decided, hey, I'm gonna take the intensity down on the preparation, which I love, and I'm really gonna focus on the connection, because I missed out on a lot of meaningful connections because I was kind of overdoing it. Author Lance Ford from Next Door, As It Is in Heaven says, the difference between biblical hospitality and entertaining is that the latter puts the focus on the host. And in biblical hospitality, it is about the people in which that you love, that you are connecting with. It is not about a perfect presentation. You know, as a Martha type with an aspiring Mary heart, as many of you may relate to me, this takes intentionality. It's not going to just happen by accident. It's going to be a discipline in that, you know, knowing when enough is enough. So I want to offer you a challenge this week. How can you invite someone into your life and offer an invitation of hospitality and be vulnerable, choose to be vulnerable, as Mary did, as Martha did? Martha opened her home and Mary decided, hey, it's okay if the tablecloth isn't quite right. I'm going to go and enjoy my guest of honor. I'm going to sit at his feet. I'm going to learn. I'm going to listen. You know, if Jesus was always at a meal, he was either providing a meal, right, feeding the 5,000, or he's coming to a meal, going to a meal. Who could you invite this week in your world just for a meal, right? And we are still in a COVID season, but could it be a virtual meal? Could it be that you can find a place outdoors to sit and to commune and to fellowship and give people your presence? That's your challenge for this week. Of course, do it safely, but we have to be really mindful that in a season where COVID has made it difficult, right, to exercise this biblical hospitality, that we have to choose, like Mary did, to be intentional and to take those steps, those calculated risk, because, you know, living in a season of a new normal of isolation is not okay. And so we have to continue to find ways to extend our hand to our neighbors and to the four neighborhoods that we've unpacked. That leads us to our second point, an awareness of others. In order to have this heart of hospitality, right, we have to have an awareness of others. We see in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. You know, we see Mary is very aware of her guest, and she's very aware that her guest has entered the room, and she says, hey, you know, like, I think enough is enough, right? She's ready to give the gift of her presence and to be aware that her guests have arrived, which was the whole point. You know, Mary also, her posture to sit at Jesus's feet. And in that time, it was very common that you would sit at the rabbi's feet in a home, having a meal and listening and learning and asking questions and having dialogue. And so she's showing the honor of her guest by really giving him her attention. You know, Martha, on the other hand, is still busy with her task and very aware that her sister is not helping. You know, she was probably overextended. She was probably exhausted, right? And Jesus tells her in verse 41 that essentially all this is not needed, right? A sure way to tell if you've been overextending yourself, maybe stretching yourself, is when we begin to point our fingers, we begin to notice what everyone else is not doing, we begin to blame, we begin to shame, and we kind of go down this rabbit trail. Come on, I've been there. I know how easy it is, especially pointing fingers in my first neighborhood, right, which is my home. When I get overextended or overtired, overexhausted of all the tasks, right, it's very easy to begin to be aware of what other people are not doing. You know, this is a sure sign that we need to kind of take a step back and we need to reassess our expectations of ourselves and the expectations of others. Your struggle's real, especially in a COVID season. Come on, all the working parents said amen. This is a real reality for most in our country right now, and how we can actually be unaware of the people even in our own home because we get so busy, right, with the task of preparation, and the list goes on and on. You know, 1 Peter 4:9 says, a good litmus test is that if we can't show hospitality without grumbling, we might need to take a step back and check our focus. You know, we're instructed in 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10, it says, show hospitality without grumbling, using whatever gifts we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You know, Jesus goes on to tell Martha, hey, Martha, you're worried, right? You're worried about many things, but only few things are needed. And I love how he doesn't condemn her. He's not rebuking her or lecturing her, right? He's just saying, hey, he commends her sister for focusing on the people in the room. You know, what he's doing is he's inviting Martha into a broader view on biblical hospitality. Yes, thank you for opening your home. But now also, Martha, let's not get too caught up in the task and the things that we completely neglect the connection, right, which is with people. You know, author from The Simplest Way to Change the World, which is a resource that we're putting on the website with this message series, says hospitality is not about entertaining. It's actually about engaging. You know, COVID has not helped us, right? We know that. It's actually fueled this kind of spirit of self-preservation. It's fueled some skepticism, right? Where have you been? We don't know. Are you, you know, could you potentially have COVID? And so it's kind of bred this not necessarily, it's almost like the opposite of a hospitable spirit. And we have to choose to counter it, just like Mary did. Mary said, whoa, 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 it's about people. I'm going to take a step back. And we have to do the same thing. And again, we can do it wisely, but it doesn't mean that these limitations should become barriers to us practicing biblical hospitality, especially during a time that people need it most. You know, Martha asked Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. So we sense a little frustration, a little anger, right? A little bossiness to request to Jesus. And yet he chooses to extend mercy and grace. And he doesn't lecture her in this moment. In fact, he's kind of got that endearing father phrase. And he's like, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But Jesus cuts straight to the heart of the matter. In other words, he's saying, hey, dear daughter, you are so upset and you are so worried about so many things that don't actually really matter. You snapped at me, you snapped at your sister, and I realize it's because you've overextended yourself and you're tired. And what you really need is you need to come and sit at my feet. You need to come and be with me so that I can teach you another way. I can teach you another dimension of hospitality that you haven't tapped into yet. And that's the gift of being attentive to those around you and offering your presence. You know, church, the only way that we can be present for others, especially in a season that can be taxing and stressful in the natural, is when we spend time with the Father. And that when we spend time with Jesus in this time of challenging time where there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of reasons to be upset and worried, that we can come to him first. So that way we can be filled with his presence and his peace. And that way we can extend that to others. So James 4:8 promises that if we will come near to God, that he will come near to you. You know, for anyone who's naturally wired to be more of a Martha type, I wouldn't know anything about that. It really is a discipline of choosing to take Mary's posture, right? In silence, in the disciplines, spiritual disciplines of silence, of solitude. It's resisting activity in certain ways to learn to listen to God's voice without being so ruffled from the inside and discontent. And it's a process and it takes time. You know, The Rods of Righteousness by A.W. Tozer says it this way. Historically, the West has tended to throw chief emphasis upon doing and the East upon being. Were human nature perfect, there would be no discrepancy between the two. The unfallen man would simply live from within without giving it another thought. So I was reminded of an experience I had as in graduate school where a group of my friends actually decided to go to Haiti. One of my friends was a pastor, and he had met a pastor in Haiti there who had a church and who had also started a school out of his home because out of his heart, he wanted to provide an education for those who did not have it. He was also concerned that they weren't getting enough food. And so he wanted to make sure on his watch during the school day that they would at least get two meals a day. And he needed some help. And so a group of us actually went down to Haiti. And I will tell you, it was a humbling experience for me personally, as I came with kind of a perspective of what hospitality looked like. And he showed me a dimension that I had not yet understood. As I sat at his dinner table with his family, with his kids, giving the best that they had to offer, it moved me because of his presence. He was so attentive to us as complete strangers, complete guests. I literally felt like, man, this man is so embodies the spirit of Jesus. And it moved me so much that I had a hard time sleeping that night because I realized I was so moved by the spirit of God and how hospitable this man was to open his home to us and to share, just giving the gift of his presence to us while we were in his home. You know, the authors of The Simplest Way to Change the World says it like this: when we join God in his mission of hospitality, we are actually creating a counterculture here on earth. When we practice hospitality, we experience the thrill of feeling God's power, conquer our fears and our stinginess and all of our psychological gravity of our self-centeredness. The end goal of hospitality is care and healing. We do the caring and Jesus does the healing. Romans 12:13 instructs us to share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. You know, we went as a group to share with the Lord's people, right? With the global church, someone in need. And yet we were completely transformed in the process, as we thought we were practicing one aspect of hospitality and this Haitian pastor taught us so much more. So here's your challenge this week. Commit yourself to remaining aware of who is in the room in your four neighborhood blocks, right? Your home, starting with your home, your work, your community, and our church family. You know, just this week, I felt the Spirit of God prompt me to even organize a neighborhood social around food. And so I'm in the process of being obedient and stepping out. And again, it's being vulnerable. It's being willing to be inconvenienced, right, for the sake of others, which leads us to our third point. If we're going to have a heart of hospitality, the last attribute that is so critical is presence over perfection. In verse 42, we see that Jesus begins to introduce a countercultural way of living to Martha. He says, "But few things are needed, Martha, or indeed, really only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You know, while the world, and particularly even in the DMV and in urban areas, we're so used to a fast pace. And while we've had a forced slowdown, I don't know that all of us have really slowed down long enough in our hearts, right? To begin to be attentive and to give people our full presence, even in our own homes. Our homes have become the epicenter of everything, of teaching, of working, of being. I mean, it's just everything. And so it's even easier to be distracted and not giving people our presence. You know, Jesus is challenging Martha in this moment that, hey, I understand that there's a lot to do, and I get that, Martha, but really only one thing is needed, and that's your presence. You know, what robs you of your willingness to offer your presence to others in all of these neighborhood blocks? You know, as a working parent in the COVID season, the home tasks seem endless, right, with never-ending demands. The uncertainty and worry of the unknown future, right? Trying to make wise choices in the present for a future that is very unknown. It can cause a lot of stress and anxiety. And I have learned that giving the gift of our presence is more important than a perfectly executed plan, right? Or a perfect presentation. And I will tell you, I'll be the first to tell you that I am a work in progress. This is a daily decision, just like it was for Mary to choose to sit at Jesus's feet and to give the gift of her presence. You know, executing hospitality is a wonderful gift, but we have to be mindful that we don't execute so much so and get so tied up with the details that we miss the whole point, right? The whole point of hospitality is to connect with people. In fact, just the other day, I decided kind of spur of the moment that I was going to extend an invite to some friends to come over in the backyard kind of impromptu and allow the kids to play with some friends in kind of a COVID safe social distancing kind of way, right? The best way that we know how. And I remember the first thought that I had was actually, oh no. To be hospitable, I want to be able to allow them to use my bathroom, but they're going to have to go through my laundry room. And that particular week, you know, we had piles of laundry, which is not uncommon in the Burroughs household. And I thought, man, I need to clean that up before they come. Maybe we should do it another day. Maybe we should plan it. I said, nope, you know what? I am going to make the choice, just like Mary did, to offer my presence. And I am not going to worry about a laundry room, right? A laundry room, there's no expectation that a laundry room is going to be perfectly kept, right? You know, I've lived in the DC area for now 9 years, and my experience planning a simple dinner could take you months. It could take you 90 days to 6 months to get on some people's calendars. And I'll be honest, just the busyness of schedules, it can be kind of exhausting even to like schedule out, to have a call, a phone call with a friend. And you know, and I think, while God does bring good things out of bad situations, I think the good thing that has come out of COVID is that people, we all tend to be a little bit more flexible, right? And we can actually do some spur of the moment type of things. And you know, within a couple of hours, someone could be at your back door, having a grill, you know, grilling out this summer. And so I would encourage us to lean into that and not to, kind of stay in our fortified, homes and put up fences when God has called us to take them down. Be wise in this season, but don't neglect biblical hospitality. You know, about 5 years ago, I read a book called Present Over Perfect by Sean and I Quest. And when God began lovingly kind of having conversations with me about the pace of my life and the lack of presence that I felt I was not offering people. And it began kind of years of just God doing a deep inner work in my life. And as I read the words of this woman's life story, it gave me courage to kind of begin to make different choices and invite the Holy Spirit to help me make the changes that I needed to make in order to be a more present, hospitable person and offer that biblical hospitality. Shauna says, productivity became my idol, the thing I loved and the thing I valued above all else. We all have these complicated tangles of our belief and our identity and our narrative. And one of the earliest stories I told myself is that my ability to get it done is what kept me around. The world that made sense to me was a world of earning and proving, and I was gutting it out just like everyone else around me, frantically trying to prove my worth. And I was aware that I was missing the very things that I so badly longed for: connection, meaning, and peace. You know, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Why don't you come to me, give me those things, and sit a while. Let me teach you a new way. Let me teach you a lighter way. You know, what are you worried over this morning? There's a lot of things to be worried about, right, in the natural. But I'm just going to encourage you, church. I feel in this season, we need to take those worries and those concerns and even just the stressors of isolation and the limitations that we're all kind of navigating. And we need to put them at the feet of Jesus. It is impossible to offer your presence until we have been present with the Father. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I believe that the Lord is inviting us, church, into a new way of biblical hospitality in which we begin to give people, not only are we willing to invite, but we're aware of others around us. And while we want to present our best and give our best when it comes to inviting and opening our lives to others, we don't miss the opportunity to connect and give people the gift of our presence. You know, the authors of The Simplest Way to Change the World say it this way: the ultimate goal of hospitality is care and healing. We do the caring and Jesus does the healing. You know, if you've been around Catalyst at all for longer than maybe a couple weeks, you will hear us say in some form or fashion that it's honestly not until we confess our sins one to another that we are actually healed. And to do that, you've got to have relationship. You've got to be in close relationship with others going the same path, saying, Jesus, I want all that you have for me, so that you can get vulnerable about those areas that, you know, entrap us in sin and that are stumbling blocks. And as we confess our sins one to another, we're healed and we grow together. This is a very countercultural way to live, and I know that. And it often feels like you're swimming upstream with an undercurrent coming at you. But this is the way of the kingdom. This is the way to live with meaning, with purpose, and with connection as God has created us to be. So here's your challenge. What neighborhood is the Lord leading you to offer more of your presence in this season? I can tell you, I know which neighborhood it is for me. And we're going to have to actively make a choice, just like Mary did, to choose connection. And first with God, we're going to have to find that silence and that solitude and the affirmation from God. And then from that place, we can begin to live in community and neighboring well with one another. In closing, I want to implore you to kind of take this challenge on allowing God. We can't put on these attributes, but we sure can open our hearts and our lives and allow the Holy Spirit, invite him in to help us to begin to put on these attributes with his help. The first is to a willingness to invite and taking those practical steps as the Holy Spirit leads, right? Awareness of others in the room. Who are you aware of in your circles this week? And offering our presence over perfection, right? Keeping the main thing the main thing. You know, I believe the Spirit of God is moving in living rooms this morning. I believe that he's speaking to many, and it is near impossible to offer this kind of biblical hospitality unless the Holy Spirit, unless you have allowed Jesus into your life and empowered you with his Spirit to live this kind of life. And we never want to close a service here at Catalyst without giving you the opportunity to do that. And Jeremy's going to come in just a moment, and he's going to lead you into that decision. And we want to know about it. We want to invite you to fill out a connection card and tell us who you are. We want to know who you are. And even though we can't meet in person yet, we can certainly connect with you in all the different technology and all the different ways that we have available to us in this season and get you connected to the life of the church, even digitally. But I want to pray with the second group of people that are saying, it's something that you spoke about, this these attributes, something the Lord is calling me into to take an extra step, another step into biblical hospitality. And I want to pray with you because I believe today can be transformative. And maybe you're just tired. It's 5 months of COVID season, of isolation, and feeling like you just haven't had the opportunity to be hospitable or to connect. I want to pray for you because that's not God's heart for you. You are not to live in isolation. That's not God's best for you. And that you have a church family that loves you and cares for you. And we want to know who you are. And so I want to just pray for you before Jeremy comes. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you would invade their living room. God, would you encounter them in ways that they've never felt before, that they would feel your peace that passes all understanding. It would guard their hearts and minds, and that the anxieties and worries, Father, would melt away. Father, I ask you, Lord, for courage to be vulnerable. God, courage to step out, to open their doors, to open their hands, Father, to other, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would open our eyes and our ears to be aware of those around us and how you have created each of us in your image, Father, that you have created us uniquely with different gifts, and that in community, Father, that we become the glorious example, God, of who you've called us to be as a body of Christ. And Father, I ask you, Father, for those that are struggling with just being present with all the worries, I ask you that you would be present. The Prince of Peace, we invite you in this morning, God, that you would rest, Father, on your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, hey, church, I want to pray for one more group today. If you are here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you once did, but you've drifted away from God and you need to make a recommitment today. You feel God stirring your heart right now. I want to pray with you right where you are and kind of encourage you. Don't click off during this time. This is the most important time. And this is the most important decision you could ever make. It'll change your life for the better forever. So that's you. In fact, anybody can pray this prayer with me. It really begins that relationship with Jesus. So pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross and giving your life for me. I believe you rose again. I confess you are Lord of my life. I ask that you lead me and you guide me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, Catalyst family. Let's give it up for all those who made that decision. Come on, throw up some party emojis, some hand clap emojis. We are so excited if you made that decision today. You can text the word faith to 94,000. We'd love to send you a resource to help you grow in your faith, as well as give you some next steps on how you can really continue to grow closer to God and experience all that He has for you.